Welcome to C-Suite Radio.
It's time for another edition of the Brett Allen Show.
It's go time, you and me.
Join us weekly for the latest pop culture interviews from your favorite TV shows, movies, comedians, and so much more.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie to you, it felt good.
Plus, you never know who will drop by.
What happened here was a miracle.
Now, here is your host.
I said throw down, boy.
Welcome to the night's main event.
Brett Allen.
Brett Allen here, chatting with Matt Shively about Lopez versus Lopez on NBC, streaming the next day on Peacock. He plays the wonderful Quentin. This is such a fun show, and I like your work in general. I'm a fan. I'm excited to talk to you about this. I've seen you on other things, on other streamers, Santa Clarita. I mean, just the list goes on and on. Thanks for your time. It's great to meet you and chat with you about this project today.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me.
So the first, yeah, absolutely. Well, the first question I like to ask is, how did you book the role? Obviously, there was probably an audition in that process, but how did it come about for you specifically from start to finish? Because I think people find that part very fascinating for sure.
Yeah, well, and this was a fascinating journey for me because I remember I had gotten the audition at the top of the year. And I'm usually pretty good at when I read something and I know I can do it and I feel very confident about it. I was very confident about this one. I was like, oh, this is mine. I'm going to get this one. I sent in an audition because, of course, everything's on tape. So I sent that in. About a week later, they called me back. I ended up meeting with Mayan and Debbie, the creator, and we did a little chemistry read thing. And then it kind of went away again. And it was brutal because I loved the project. I loved what it was. And I had a buddy about 2 weeks later be like, hey, can you put me on tape for something? I was like, of course. So he came over to do it. And he gives me the sides. And I'm like, ah, oh, these were the same sides. I was like, dang, okay, yeah, sure, of course. And so I put him on tape. And I was fortunate enough to book something that shot in the Keys in Florida. And about a week after that, I landed in the Keys. And right when I landed, I got an email saying that they wanted to see me again. And I was like, but I don't have any of my setup. I don't have any of my lighting or my, you know, my stands or anything. And I ended up having to go to like a CVS and buying duct tape. And I duct taped my phone to the wall of the hotel and like moved as many lights as I could to try to make it. And then when it came on, I wasn't aware that I was going to be reading with George at that time, but George came on. And I ended up reading with both of them. And about an hour later, I got the call saying I got it. And it was like, ah, I knew it from the beginning. But I know that it was very hard for them to find a Quentin. But I'm so, so pleased that they ended up landing on me.
Yes. Well, you just fit the role perfectly. It's one of those situations where you hear these stories of other actors, not this necessarily auditioning. And then you see like who gets the role and books it. And you're like, that makes perfect sense. In these most recent episodes, you have been able to share the stage with some icon actors. I mean, just some masterminds. What has that experience been like for you? And has there been anything that you've learned from them working with these guys and gals that are just rock stars? Obviously, present company included. But I mean, some of these names are just like, it's crazy, the guest stars that you guys have had.
Yeah, I was not. It's surreal. It's extremely surreal, especially because, you know, I'm 33, so I am still a part of that generation that grew up with a lot of the people that we've ended up having on the show. And this specifically the Cheech and Chong episode, they had rewritten the tag to make it where, you know, they were singing Mexican-American. And originally me and Selene were not in the tag. And at the last second, they called us in. They were like, listen, we want the whole family there. We want it to be kind of like an SNL feel, where it's like the ending of SNL. And I remember putting the beanie on and sitting down and like looking around, and I started to tear up, and Bryce looked at me and he was like, are you crying? And I was like, yeah, dude. He's like, why are you crying? I was like, cause man, this is the craziest moment of my life. Like, I'm sitting next to Tommy Chong, who is playing this song that like it's a historical song and for the culture and for everybody. And so it feels like it's been that every week. I come on set and there's just another person that I grew up watching or that I've admired for years is there. And I've learned to just kind of like throw it on autopilot and just allow it. And a lot of times, you know, George is good friends with a lot of them. So I'll just kind of hover around them and just listen to stories and, you know, hearing about the first time they met and hearing about the people that they met through people and people of people. And it's like, it's just the stories and stuff that they have has been one of the most rewarding parts of the show, because I'm learning so much about, you know, behind the scenes and like little things that a lot of people have never heard before. And it's just like, it's very, very, very surreal. And a lot of times I look in the mirror and I'm like, how did we get here?
Is it intimidating? We've talked to Tommy before. He's one of the most fascinating people on the planet. Like, it's crazy.
He was a sweetheart. He was an absolute sweetheart. And at 85 years old is still as quick as ever. And it's very intimidating in the fact that, you know, as a kid, I always say one of the craziest things about being an actor is, especially now, is when I'll get on set and I'm working with somebody that I remember when my mom would tell me to go to sleep, you know, you have school tomorrow. And I would turn the TV on in my room and turn it down very low so she couldn't hear it. And I would watch shows. And a lot of the shows that I would watch at 1 a.m. had people on it that I'm now working with. And it's such a weird, like, universal thing where at the time you never go, oh, I'm going to work with that person at some point. And then you're there and you're like, oh, it's so crazy. I used to like pretend I was sleeping so that I could watch your show at night at 1 a.m. This is like the weirdest thing in the world. So it's a very surreal thing, and it can be intimidating, but it's also everybody that's been on has been so kind and generous with their time and their talent and stuff that any intimidation I have is gone within 5 minutes because they make me feel comfortable. So it's great.
Are you filming in front of an audience, or is it?
So we usually do. We shoot for 2 days. The first day we will shoot as much of the show as possible just to have it in the can, so that when we shoot it in front of the audience the next day, there's not as much pressure or stress to get everything exactly right. We got to get to be a little looser. George will end up improvising a lot more and adding in his own things. And a lot of times we have those guest stars, and that's a cool thing because we never tell the audience that they're on the show, and we have this curtain that they hide behind before they make their entrance into whatever scene they're in. And they just go absolutely wild. And season two was really cool because everybody who's in the audience now, you can tell, has seen and watches the show. And so the audience is like on an entirely different level. We used to make fun of the fact in the first couple episodes of season two that like we felt like we were on Jerry Springer, because anytime a line would come out, it would be like, ooh, oh. And so it was like always this thing of like, you almost have to change up the way that you're delivering lines, because you have to hold for the audience to calm down or to stop laughing and stuff. And so, you know, somebody will say a line and then you have to wait 10 seconds for the audience to stop laughing, and then you say your line. And so it's kind of like a game of like cat and mouse with the audience of trying to get everything still to be timed comedically properly.
Are you multicam or single cam for the sitcom?
I prefer multicam. We're multicam. Multicam, I come from theater, so multicam is about the closest thing television wise as you can get to theater. So that's where I live and breathe. And I love it. That's where I started in this industry, but I was far too young to really understand how incredible it was. So when it came back around with this show, I was like, I'm going to take every day. I'm going to embrace it. And I really have done that. And it's just been the greatest time.
Very cool. What have you learned the most about yourself through your character, Quentin? Has he taught you anything about yourself, either on the positive or the negative?
So Quentin was in the first season very quiet in his own way. He did not stand up for himself. He didn't make his voice heard. And oddly enough, I just finished telling the cast this, but like my journey as Matt has been exactly the same as Quentin. And so I gained so much like power in myself because of this show. And I used to always be, you know, every time I would get a job, I would get there and I'd be like, oh my, I'm so lucky to be here. I'm so lucky to be here. I still very much feel this way, but I also realize that they're just as lucky to have me.
You've earned it for sure.
Yeah. And I have a lot to give, and I've put in my 10,000 hours. And so, you know, I finally just started realizing that like, this is my job and I know what I'm doing and people have trusted me. And so I've become more outspoken. I've was shadowed a director on one of our episodes, and because I'm just trying to learn as much as possible. So the journey of Quentin is actually very similar to the journey of me in real life right now, where I feel as though I've gained a lot of love for myself and respect for myself and have learned to speak up and stand up. And so it's been really cool.
Very cool. One last question as we wrap. Best advice you've been given throughout your career, whether it's in theater, television shows you've worked on, one thing that you can pinpoint that has attributed to your success and kept you going, Matt?
Jay Ferguson, I did a show called The Real O'Neills, and J.R. Ferguson, who played my dad on that show, told me I always struggled with, you know, my body and things like that. And he would always say, well, you don't ever have to get prepared if you stay prepared. And that was always something that I didn't ever really do, where it was like, I wanted everything right now, so I'll put the time in when I get this. When in actuality, it was, I needed to be able to be patient and know that it's not all going to happen right now, but if I do as much for myself and protect myself, then it'll happen eventually. And so now I stay prepared, so I don't have to get prepared, and those things come easier.
Yes, Lopez versus Lopez, weekly on NBC, streaming the next day on Peacock. Lots of fun things coming up. I imagine you guys are probably close to a break at this point, if not already. Yeah, you're just about there.
Yes, yes. We are now in the waiting for word on a season 3. So we're all anticipating that.
Well, congratulations. Thank you so much. Appreciate your time. And yes, all the success that you've had is well deserved. Matt, thanks for your time and thanks for hanging out today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Brett.
Thanks for listening and being a part of today's conversation.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed today's episode, please consider sharing it with a friend. It's absolutely free.
Omega proportions.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect those of the host.
And remember, we care.